some kind of virtual or online environment where they can learn. But I think we need to just, think about learning as when I have a question on the job, where can I turn? And a lot of people are turning to Google, but others are turning to social networks to ask their peers for their insights.
You write in a couple posts, or great posts on GovLoop, and we'll have them linked up on federalnewsradio.com so people can find them nice and easy. But you say, hold on, the way we've been doing this, this is the ultimate in one of these things where all of a sudden there are really new ways of learning, of sharing, but it's also really about change management. How do we evolve our organizations?
That's right. Well, learning never ends. And if we have to think about learning as something that happens every, 3 to 4 months or worse, maybe once a year, or something that's easily cut when budgets are tight, as they are now, especially on the state and local government levels, we're thinking all wrong, and we're not going to give our employees the development opportunities that they need to advance and potentially stick around. If you're not going to develop your employees, they're going to go places where people are going to invest in them.
And start off, tell the story, because you wrote a wonderful story about you're a new dad. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you said, hold on, when I was a new dad, how did I actually learn about how to be a dad, how to be a parent?
Yes. Yeah, so our son, Isaac, he started having some signs and symptoms that he might be teething. And so, what did my wife do? I was sitting there folding burp cloths and onesies, and she just turned to Google. And there was a product for teething tablets and gels, but that's not where she went first. She saw a cool link to YouTube, so she clicked on that, and it was for the doctors, and they were actually talking about and giving their insight on that particular product. And then she thought, they're probably sponsored somehow, right, by Highlands. And
right.
So then she went to the Berkeley Parents Network and, looked and saw what other mothers, had to say. And after that, she felt more comfortable in making a decision, and also was dealing with our son, what he was experiencing. But I think that's where learning really happens. Now, to be fair, when we're having things go wrong with our son, health issues, not everything on the web is verifiably accurate.
Right.
But I think when you can see a preponderance of evidence from a group of peers and often experts in their fields based on experience, I think you've got some really good answers to start with, and that can, when you do go to training down the road, allow you to have a better experience in the classroom and ask better questions, get more out of that.
And you talk about this informal learning being really the new normal. This is, I think it always was the case, but now it's technology can play a role in there as well. We always, the discussions outside of classroom, even when an old guy like me was in college, those were some of the more interesting discussions. And that is how a lot of the thinking actually got locked in. But we're finding that, hold on, this goes on Facebook and Twitter. And I mean, this weekend I was having a big debate about the future of the Constitution on Twitter, for goodness sakes. It's that kind of that kind of stuff that can really happen.
That's right. Well, and if 70-80% of it's just commonly held that 70-80% of learning is informal, and so what happens between the classroom experiences, we turn to these other informal networks. But what happened in the past? You probably could go down the hall. You could find a coworker who was maybe more seasoned, who had some experience with this. Maybe you could call somebody else in your agency who was located somewhere else in the country. But never before really has there been a space or a place like GovLoop or places like Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter where you can tap a bunch of people, regardless of time or location. I think that's really powerful. And if we don't start factoring that into how we train our employees, I think we're missing a very efficient way, an effective way of getting them the training.
And that wonderful information sharing that goes on, and what we're finding is, and in fact, I know Steve Ressler, the founder of GovLoop, helped create a almost wiki where people could share information when they got onboarded, to share all those lessons learned, everything from as small as, okay, where do we go for lunch, to, TSP, what are these different funds? All sorts of different information that people share.
Yeah, so we actually are creating a new hire guide. There's a topics page that we have that's a new hire guide. And, that's not just one person writing a guide, although we are producing something like that right now that will be helpful. What that guide is, it's it's blog posts and discussion forums and relevant groups, everything that's been tagged and pulled in by RSS feeds into one topics page. So it really is the knowledge of the community that is creating that guide versus, you know, one person or a couple people who consider themselves experts or who are commonly held as experts legitimately. Now, this is, you know, essentially, you know, training by your peers.
And you're right that the real experts are in the cubicles. They're not just in the classroom. It's actually one of the biggest frustration I have when I'm out either speaking on panels or moderating panels. I like to involve the audience because there's a lot of people who know a whole bunch.
Yeah, I think you said all of us are smarter than any one of us. I've heard you say that at conferences several times, and I completely agree with that. And I think this, we're at a point where we need to start redefining the term expert, because we think of experts as people who've written a book or stand in front of the classroom, and they are. I don't want to take that away from them.
Right.
I don't want to take anything away from the traditional means of learning. But people who are practitioners, who are in the trenches day in and day out, have just as much to share, and often more so. And I realize that it takes a risk by subject matter experts to open up to the classroom, but I think that's why I'm calling social networks the, you know, perfect perpetual classroom too, because it facilitates that interaction among practitioners on a daily basis.
And you can hear folks out there, and they hear this, okay, we're opening this up. All of a sudden, it means losing almost a little bit of control over the direction of the organization. It can be a little bit scary.
Oh yeah, and it can be a little messy too. But see, I think that's what we need to rethink what we're doing with learning, and those experts, rather than being available at a designated time for 2 or 3 days, what if we made them available all the time? And what if there was just a contract that you had with the people who otherwise are doing your training for you, and they could monitor those conversations, and when it goes off track or when something inaccurate is said, they can bring it back in alignment with what they know as to be true, you know? So we need to just completely rethink you know, experts, and B, how we get our knowledge and share knowledge.
On Friday, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the challenges in this, because there are a lot of challenges, and part of it, the big step is that mindset change, but then there are some real-life challenges. Okay, how do we get people, they're used to collaborating using email. In a way, this is thinking about things in a very different way. There are pockets out there of people who are doing this in really innovative ways, Intellipedia, of course, being one example. Even there, this is, in a way, it's very, very new.
I think Intellipedia is, you know, in chapter 5 of the book,
right,
is the example that's used, and they have some other corporate or private sector examples. But I mean, anybody in an agency who is choosing to crowdsource right now, or to open up a wiki, or to somehow use these collaborative tools, I'd say they're the ones who are leading here and transforming the way we think about learning, and you and I have had conversations about the language we use around this, and I really appreciate that you have brought social learning as a new part of the vocabulary to think about what's happening, so that it's not just social networks or something that's purely social. There's something here that's important that's related to knowledge and to professional advancement, and I think social learning in some ways gets at that.